Hey everyone, welcome to the next exciting episode of Lending Leadership with the Mortgage Pros. Robert Filiaw here, joined with Dave Holland. Hey Dave.
That was low energy, Robert. That was low energy.
That was not low energy. Don't be giving me gruff, dude.
It's just me and you. We got no Tom today.
No Millsy.
I'm flying to Vegas tomorrow to see Dead & Company at the Sphere. So
for the
I'm
second
excited.
Time.
What's second time? Yeah. I mean, see the Dead once, twice a year. They got their 60th anniversary. I guess they just announced it. Polo Grounds, somewhere, some park in San Francisco, August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. I know, Robert, we tried to get you in the Dead. You tried a little bit. You didn't try hard enough. Grateful Dead's an acquired taste.
Listen, I've listened to it a little bit. It is an acquired taste. I don't get it, number one. It's, but I'm really bummed that I'm not making Vegas. By the way, I know you guys invited Lacey and I. We're not going to make the Vegas trip that you're leaving for tomorrow.
I'm still holding that hope.
I'm sure you probably had realized that, but this is my official notice to you that we're not going to make the Vegas trip. We tried. We just couldn't put it together.
Well, one of those things about the Dead is a lot of people don't, they think it's some psychedelic band that drones on and on. And fair, some of the songs are, but a lot of stuff's like country western, rock and roll, R&B. It's not all, you know, Jerry Garcia on a 12-minute solo. I mean, there's, in my opinion, it's the greatest American rock and roll band.
We're going to differ on opinions there.
Yeah, fair.
But, I'm just really bummed I'm not making it to Vegas. I can't wait to see something in the Sphere. I hear it's epic. You've been. You said it's awesome. So I just, honestly, I miss blackjack. I really want to just have like a nice like 4 or 5 hour blackjack session. So
we didn't gamble at all last time. Not a single penny on gambling. One late night, you know those the casino games that have the horses that go around, yeah, the little miniature horses. We almost did that, but the group we were hanging out, we lost them in the casino. We got lost. It's like 4 a.m. after the Dead show. So no gambling. We got a bunch of good meals lined up. We're going hiking in the desert. Looking forward to it. We had never been to Vegas before last year, and I didn't realize what a wonderland it is. And, you know, culinary capital of the U.S. probably. I mean, we're staying at the Venetian, and I said to Lindsay, we're not flying. We fly in like 6:30 tomorrow, right? It's Wednesday. I said, hey, let's just go to the Venetian and grab something so we don't have to take an Uber. We're going to get there and be tired, drop our stuff off. So I'm like, I bet they have a couple good restaurants in the Venetian. Oh, geez. They have 3 high-end steak places. They got a Wolfgang Puck, place called Cut. They got a Smith & Lewinsky's. And then what's Eagle Double Rare? There's one in Pittsburgh, too. So they have like 3 bona fide high-end steak places, 2 great Chinese places. We're having dinner before the Dead at a Hong Kong, like a Hong Kong chic place, you know, a new chef. But those casinos are like little cities in themselves. It's nuts.
No doubt. Yeah, you can't go wrong in Vegas. It's an adult playground. I love it.
Probably
easily in the top 3 of towns. Maybe at the top. Maybe. It depends.
We're just learning our way around, right? This is our second time.
It depends on how the blackjack sessions go as to how much I love it or not.
Uh-huh.
Listen, our topic today is no topic. We're just gonna spend like some time just chewing the fat. You know, when we started this podcast, we wanted it to be a little looser than frankly it's been. So today's going to be super loose, maybe too loose, but yeah, that's what we're going to do today.
And I like how we're both coordinated in blue. And to our listeners,
that was not planned. It was not planned.
In fact,
great minds.
I wore this shirt yesterday too, because I have all these polos. Oh, hey, you know, that's 2 days wearing the same shirt isn't the end of the world.
It's not okay.
It's not
but
okay.
Listen,
I don't see anyone in the office. I'm not seeing anyone. I had someone with lunch today, and I had lunch with them yesterday.
Yeah, personal hygiene, like
listen, I showered twice yesterday. Worked out in the morning. Worked out in the evening.
It's a little different though, because I'm in Florida, right? And it's May.
Yeah,
you sweat. I sweat anyway. You can't wear the same shirt twice. Unless you like, it would literally be wet under the pits the next day when I put it on.
So Pittsburgh, the spring is interesting, even though we're in mid-May. It could be 39 in the morning where, you know, I'm tempted to turn on the furnace, and sometimes I do. And then the second floor of our house gets really hot. I could have the AC on by like noon. So that's just how springs are in the Mid-Atlantic, East Coast. Yeah,
I get it. I think it's still gross that you're wearing the same shirt 2 days in a row. Like, at least give it a day to air out.
Well, you know, full transparency on the Mortgage Pros today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, this is a lot better without Tom, I got to say. Don't you agree?
I think Tom's maybe the stiff in this group.
Yeah.
Yeah. We love you, Millsy. So shout out to him. He's at some event, a realtor event, I think.
I think you're right.
So, yeah. Hey, listen, I had a question for you. We talked about it a little bit, and I know where I sit. This has been all the rage and a lot of discussion. 100 men or one gorilla? Who's going to win?
Well, so that's how we ended the podcast last time when we went off air. I was like 2 weeks late to that. You know, I'm not on social media very often. Yeah. So I click on one Facebook short, and next thing you know, everything's dominated by it. I know. It would depend on the men, right? You know, obviously no weapons. You know, I think if it was coordinated, I can't see 100 men not be able to beat up one gorilla. I just can't see that happening. If timed, right? If we all onslaught at the same time.
Yeah, I think the argument is that, you know, you can only... like, only so many people can attack at one time, and the gorilla can dispatch those people relatively easily, which I agree with. However, 100 men win, hands down. And the reason being is that gorilla is going to get tired.
I would say, what's a gorilla's endurance like?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, the gorilla is going to get tired, and once it gets tired, and, you know, then it's game over. Now, the first 30 to 40 dudes are going to catch hell. They are not going to like life afterwards. They are going to be, if
many
they even
of them
have
may
life,
be dead.
They may be dead if they even have life, right? But once you get past that like 40 person tipping point, I think that the odds move into the human's favor, and the gorilla probably subsides. So
bigger question outside of 100 men versus one gorilla is, who started this?
Well, yeah, where'd this even come from? Why are we even talking about this? You know, I saw another one recently that 100 British versus 100 Americans. I've seen this two or three times, and I'm like, hello, haven't we seen this show? Yeah. 1776. Twice. We know how this is going to go.
In the War of 1812. We did it twice.
Right. Yeah. Johnny Horton even wrote a song about it, right? Like, we know how this goes. We can replay it for you.
I haven't seen that, and I'll have to check that out.
You haven't seen it on social media? Yeah. It's out there. I've seen it maybe three or four times where they're asking about it. One is a guy that is an Englishman, a Brit that's been living here for a few years. And he goes, to my British fellows, I can't do the accent. I'm just going to tell you, easily 100 Americans. It's not even a question. He goes, have you ever shaken an American's hand like a farmer, like a real, like, he goes, they will crush us. There's not even a, you know.
I mean, I guess it depends what type of Americans are talking about, and what type of British are we talking about?
Right.
You know, we may wander into some territory we don't want to get into. So let's change
we're going to change the subject. I'm just saying, you give me, well, anyway, 1776 and 1812, back to like two examples already.
Yeah. Maybe not the soccer dads or the guys living in the suburbs who sit at a desk all day like us, but you know, we're tough. We're tough soccer dads though. I mean,
listen, I spent 8 years in the Marine Corps. Like that warrior is still tucked down there somewhere. Like he's still here. He can rear his ugly head.
I've seen him once or twice.
That's true. Hey, so you've got kind of this new obsession with AI.
Obsession might be too strong of a word, but you know, I think it's. I'll put something in the chat too for our listeners that I recently read. But I think it's interesting, and I think in our business, you know, and then in our specifically in our life generally, it's going to play a big role. So I don't want to get caught flat-footed. Like I use it for, and this is a whole episode, but basic stuff. Like, I wrote like a pretty formal email yesterday and today. So I'll draft it. I'll write it, but I won't anguish over it. Right. Yeah. Before I might have someone on the marketing team edit it or edit my social media post. And now I just draft it and let AI clean it up, punctuation, spelling, stuff like that. And I, you know, put in the tone, like make this tone like conciliatory, make this tone. You know,
Wait, what's it, did you just say conciliatory?
yeah, apologetic, you know.
No, or, I know what it means, Dave. I just, you know,
I'm trying to bring out $10 words at least once a day.
Yeah. You got a thesaurus there next to you.
Yeah. Well, AI gives me that too. Or make this, you know, make it a very nice email, but no room for comment at the end. You could, you know, it knows my tone. If I put in, tell me 7 paragraphs about my business and my life, it will give me, my AI will give me 7 paragraphs. It's kind of shocking. It never forgets anything. And it's fun making the goofy images too. That's also
the extent of what I've seen you on AI is really just Terminator images. Like, you ever hear using words like conciliatory, and then all I see from you is Terminator images.
Sometimes they're tucked in the background. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, we're having it review contracts, social media posts. You know, if I go to Vegas, I'll say, hey, give me like the top 10 places to get, example, champagne and caviar. We're not doing that, but it would tell me the top 10 places. I started using the $20 pay version because it can scrub the internet, and mostly there's unlimited images too. But it does do, I mean, you use it in emails and stuff like that.
Yeah, I use it. I actually had it draft me a perfect like 15-16-day trip to Italy with a focus on visiting these 3 towns and what are the must-dos and where should we stay with Marriott properties. And, and it put together a really nice itinerary. I think we're going to try to do Italy for Christmas. So,
nice.
Yeah, it was cool. You know, Reagan and I had a conversation yesterday about it, and he was trying to convince me. Reagan, for those of you guys who may or may not know, is my 15-year-old son. He was trying to convince me that AI is perfectly okay to use for school as long as he rewrites it in his own words. So he'll do the opposite of you. Like, you're taking a first pass and then have an AI clean it up. He'll have AI do it and then Reaganize it, I guess, for lack of a better term. And I'm like, but is it really?
Don't you lose we already have a lot of the critical thinking skills, right? Because we had to write papers and essays and tough emails, you know. But if you don't have those skills and AI is doing it for, I don't know. I'm not an educator, but I would think the way we're doing it, you know, sometimes when I'm lazy, I'll just turn an email and chat GPT and have it reply for me at the end of the day when my brain's mush. But generally, you need to have those critical thinking skills.
Yeah, that's the camp that I'm in. And I'm like, bro, you need to do the work. Like, this isn't doing the work. So, yeah, interesting conversation. He's driving now, by the way, which is absolutely terrifying. Him and Liberty.
Permitted. So someone's got to be in the car.
I got to be in the car with him, which is taking 10 years off my life.
I bet.
Yeah. The AI piece is, you know, it's revolutionizing our industry, and this is going to look very different in 5 years than it does now. And that's something we're trying to tackle and kind of get our arms around. So, it's interesting to see every day some new aspect of it.
I think for the LOs out there listening, what it's going to be is you're going to make less bips per loan, but you're going to do more loans. It's not going to replace you, at least in the foreseeable future. I mean, who knows what the future holds with artificial intelligence, right? Especially when we hit, you know, artificial general intelligence. That's a whole separate conversation. But you're going to do more loans, less bips. You're not going to be left behind unless you're not using AI at all. It's going to leave the loan officers who are already on the kind of on the fringes, who aren't using technology every day and who aren't using AI. It's going to speed up and probably those people will exit the business.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
It's just one more, you know, example of change. And that's the only constant in our business. And I agree with you. You know, I think the other piece is you're going to less bits, more loans, but it's going to be a lot easier, right? To do those loans a lot quicker, a lot more efficient. So yeah, I think that's definitely what we're seeing. It's interesting though, when you talk about the learning aspect, I'm vetting some AI vendors and looking at some partners for us. And one of them specifically said that their process removes bias, right? So you get a more consistent It's an underwriting aspect. You get more consistency in kind of the same way every time, and it removes bias. And for that reason, they actually don't have the learning ability turned on because they don't want to introduce bias in it to learn bias, which I thought was kind of intriguing.
Yeah, that is intriguing.
Hey, I got a question that I've been wondering that I've never had a chance to ask you. I'm just going to throw it out here on air. Extraterrestrials, alien life, yes or no? What do you think?
I mean, so if you look at our galaxy, right, just the Milky Way, and I don't know how big it is across, like 100,000 light years. Does that sound right?
I have no idea. It's big.
It's 100,000 light years, right? And I think within our galaxy, there are hundreds of billions of suns, right? So I believe that's accurate. And there's hundreds of billions of galaxies. So just by sheer numbers, yeah, of course there's, it could look completely different, right? It could be the movie Arrival. That's really good, where they're speaking like in, they're like octopus type creatures and they're speaking in ink, could be like that. It could be artificial intelligence, right? Could be a civilization that advanced, created artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence takes over and they're just coming to get us, but it takes them, it's gonna take them a million light years to get here. So
back to the Terminator. Yeah, right. Back to Terminators. This is how we get Skynet. No, I agree with you. I think it's pretty naive to think that we're the only, right? When you look at the vastness of it, to say, hey, we're the only ones out there, it's kind of naive and also, a little bit maybe self-centered. That's not right, but you get the gist.
Like, yeah. Self-centered. Yeah. I mean, in the Middle Ages, everyone thought the sun revolved around us, right? And it was heresy Well, what's the number? I think the number is, I'm going to have this prepared because we know what we're going to talk about. It's like 50% of Americans think the sun revolves around us.
Yeah. Well, listen, that's a whole different tangent if we want to talk about, like, what about the Americans, or not the Americans, but the people out there, the flat earthers.
Flat earthers, then we're in a dome.
And the people that think we're in a dome.
Yeah. Or people think we're in the Matrix.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure I'll see some of those people at the Grateful Dead concert on Thursday.
Far out, man.
Yeah.
That's fun. I'm jealous of your trip. So we're going, I haven't told you this, we're going to Napa in the beginning of June. So I'll be back out there for a few days.
Nice. Nice. So, I'm sure bring home some good wine for me.
Yes. Yes. Always. What else should we talk about, David? What, any current events? Like, I feel like current events are a taboo subject because there's no way to talk about it that isn't politicized today. Right. Like,
yeah, I mean, recently, looks like we have a handshake deal, soft handshake deal with China on a trade deal. And of course,
what do you think that's going to do for us in terms of pricing in the near term and the short term?
Well, pricing got worse on Monday. Pricing got a little worse today. So it's not positive. I mean, we keep thinking rates are going to go down. We're going to have a refi market, at least some refinances. And it's, We've been doing some here, but it's very infrequent. So at some point, the market has to give the mortgage professionals something.
We're closer than we've ever been. Every day, we're closer than we've ever been.
True. It'd be great if we had in the fourth and first quarter, right? And we could go just rolling into the spring market.
Just roll right in.
That would be ideal. That would solve a lot of mortgage companies' problems. Like in a lot
Can
of
we
mortgage
just manifest
companies,
that? Into the
put that in the ether,
like, just right there out into the universe, like fourth and first quarter, let's go.
Yeah, there's a lot of mortgage companies that are on the edge, and if this doesn't turn, they've been holding on for a long time, that they're going to have to change the face of their organization or finally pack it in. You can't lose money every month for 3 or 4 years and be a viable concern.
Maybe unpopular take, we started down this road in 2018 and the beginning of 19, and it was, there were some companies on the ropes and it was short-lived, and then we all know 20 and 21, and this has been a long, like, it's been a long window. Almost like I want some of those players to just get out of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, some of the people have hung on. They made a lot of money in, you know, don't forget the second half of 19 was pretty amazing too.
Yeah.
It was great. And the first quarter 22 was decent. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who made a lot of money. Hopefully they didn't give it all back, that are probably close to retirement age or been hanging on for this to turn or to pass it to the next generation. Yeah. I think it's not only companies, and there's several in every marketplace, but it's also LOs too, LOs that are closing, you know, one or two a quarter. You know, we have had a focus on that at our company, because it makes it operationally harder for us to, you know, navigate, you know, everything that we do with the company as owners. So I think we've seen some companies already, you know, quietly fold up, or we call it a walkover, where they just drop the keys over to the company that's taken over because their company's not worth anything, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's you know, just that consolidation is going to continue. And I think, to your point, we're going to see it in the LO level also, right? So those, you know, you take 10 LOs doing two loans a month. As they exit, two or three LOs are going to pull those 20 loans in, right? Yep. And I think that's what we're going to continue to see. So if you're out there, you want to be one of those LOs that, you know, are adapting to the moving and changing times, taking care of your clients, you know, being best in class, being an advisor, not a commodity. So as these exits happen, you can capitalize on it. We've seen it with real estate partnerships, right? As LOs have exited the business, we have originators that have been calling on agents for years without any traction. And then all of a sudden, I remember a story where we had one where the LO got out of the business and went to like do road work, like making roads, right? And a realtor called that this RLO had been chasing for literally like 2 years. And it's like, oh, my LO's out of the business now. You're up. Let's go. So the seeds you plant today are the fruit you harvest tomorrow.
Well, we got to have one more off the wall topic.
What is it, David?
I don't know. Who's Florida? Are you going to go to every Florida game next year?
I will not be at every Florida game next year.
Schedule out?
Schedule's out. Yeah, schedule's been out. So not going to be at everyone. I'll be at every home game. And it looks like my away games are going to be Miami and Ole Miss, which I'm really, really excited about tailgating in the Grove. Super nice. Excited.
I don't have any exciting sports stuff, but Steelers are playing. They just announced it today in Dublin, the 26th or the 28th of September. So I'm sure they'll get charter flights from Pittsburgh, but it sounds fun.
Are you going?
I think if I can get some of my cousins to go, both male and female, and some buddies, yeah, I think I'd go. I mean, I'm not, you know, I've seen the Steelers, you know, 100 times, but just go to Dublin. Dublin's a great city.
I'd love to go to Dublin. I know you're not invited. Like, that wasn't an invite.
I mean, that's kind of myself. A soft invite. You kind of invited yourself. It's only a 5-hour time difference. We could get there on a Thursday and fly back on a Sunday.
Yeah, what's the date? Florida has a bye week in late September, so like it might align perfectly. I'm just saying.
My email's off, but I got my Outlook up.
That's
fine.
Don't
yell at me, Rachel. Steelers, Sunday, September 28th.
Oh, you know what? They
are playing the Vikings.
The Vikings. I think the 27th. Let me look. I think September 27th. We have a bye week.
Whoa.
Is this?
You heard it. If you've been this far in the podcast, you heard it here first. Robert and Dave are going to Dublin to see the Steelers.
Robert and Dave do Dublin. Watch out.
Do you like Guinness?
Boy. I love Guinness. As long as I don't get the muds.
I like the muds. Yeah, we won't have to dissect that on that. But a lot of people don't realize that Guinness is a light beer.
It's a very light beer.
Low alcohol, low carb, low calorie. It's meant to drink all
delicious.
Day.
It's a great breakfast beer, I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good stopping point. Hey, thanks everybody for joining us today while we just chewed the fat a little bit. If you haven't hit that subscribe button, take this opportunity to do that now. Go ahead and leave us that 5-star review. We really appreciate it. if you're out there in the mortgage world and feel lost, don't have the leadership, your business is stagnant, you just don't have a plan and would like one, we'd love to chat with you. Hit us up. Really good at that stuff. No commitment, you know, no obligation. Totally confidential. We'd love to chat with you. So hit us up. For Dave Holland, Robert Filyaw, Lending Leadership with the Mortgage Pros, thanks for tuning in, y'all.
Thanks so much.